today on Real Radio.
God's word spanning the epochs of time or millennia, maintaining its integrity, and yet being accurate to the moment. Only God can do that. This is why I'm a Christian. Seriously, this is why I'm a Christian. I can't walk away from this truth.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 3, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. This really has been a great study, hasn't it? Thanks for joining us today. God wanted Judah to turn away from their sins and to return to Him so He could continue to bless them. And you know, Isaiah is called the evangelical prophet of the Old Testament because God used him not only to share the good news of the coming of the Messiah, but also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In parts 1 and 2 of this message from Isaiah chapter 7, we were reminded of how God is bound to His Word, and that His Word is true and it lasts forever. Pastor Jack also challenged us to look at our own lives and see if we believe God's Word to be true, and does our behavior actually match up with the Bible? Our calling is from God. That means we're to decrease as God increases. But when leadership is corrupt, God will intervene, either with mercy or justice or both. Now in part 3, we'll continue to see how God knows the future and is faithful in keeping His promises. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack reminds us as he goes through the Old and the New Testaments of the Bible of who God is and how God, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. The Bible interprets itself in that the Holy Spirit is the author. It answers prophecy of the Old Testament as it comes to pass in New Testament Scripture. And now continuing his lesson called God's Word is Always True, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of by the Lord through the prophet, who you know, Isaiah, saying, verse 23, behold, look in your Bibles. I need you to look in your Bible because your Bible better not be defective. I'm serious. You're going to find out in a moment. Behold, verse 23, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. The Holy Spirit wrote the book of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit wrote the book of Matthew. The Holy Spirit comments on the Bible. He's the commentator. How does He commentate on the Bible? The Holy Spirit uses the Bible to comment on the Bible. This is not my feeling, it's not my emotion, it's not my idea, it's not my argument, it's God's truth to us. His word is always true. This is awesome. Truly, no one's got this argument on the planet. Nobody. Your faith is biblically founded. We have to remember that. But I said for a moment, make sure your Bible's not defective. If you have a translation from a publisher, some of your, and I'm gonna have you look, I need you to look. Some of you will have in your Bibles, behold, a maiden or a young woman will conceive. You look at your Bible, does it say a maiden, a young woman will conceive? Anybody, look, you're looking at me. You're not even, what does your Bible say? It says the virgin. Does anybody have this guy, he has a young maiden?
A virgin.
Does anybody have a young maiden? I'm impressed. I'm dead serious because you know what? Unless you're not being honest with me right now, might I remind you, you're in church right now. Many translations, I actually own some of them for study purposes. They say a young maiden will conceive and bring forth a son. And the footnotes argue and they say it's not a miracle. A young maiden brings forth a son because it can't be a miracle because it had to happen in King Ahaz's day for it to be a true prophecy fulfilled. That's a great question, but it's not the answer. Great question, but it's not the answer. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to buy a Bible, always, always be very careful who the publisher is. Because there's publishing companies that are smart enough to figure out that they bought rights, for example, to a certain Bible translation, because it makes them billions of dollars. And they don't care about the authenticity or the accuracy of the Bible. Did you know that there's some Bible versions that you would know their names, perhaps, by publishers? And one of them, for example, comes to mind, that there's 22 omissions in the New Testament of Jesus' deity from their publication. In fact, one of them, Revelation 22:13, which screams the most remarkable titles of Jesus Christ in one verse, some of those translations are completely absent. They have a whole different verse in it, in the book of Revelation. Be on guard. Why? Because that school of thought was brought forth from a Jewish scholar who did not believe in two things: the miraculous signs of God, and number two, he did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel. So he, being a very notable scholar, said, this can't be, because I don't believe Jesus is the Messiah and I don't believe in miracles, so a young maiden will conceive. Ladies and gentlemen, how is that a sign to King Ahaz if a young girl's going to get pregnant? It happens every day. Young girls get pregnant every day. How is that a miracle? How is that a miraculous sign? It's not a miraculous sign. Teenagers can bump elbows and they get pregnant. No. This is the virgin. Definite article changes. The virgin shall conceive. There's going to be an event in Ahaz's life that he will be reminded of this prophecy, but the structure of the prophecy demands the ultimate fulfillment. The virgin shall conceive. Emmanuel will come and save his people from their sins. That didn't happen in Ahaz's day. A similitude, a type, did happen, but the ultimate fulfillment did not happen. Do you guys understand that? I hope so. I'm going to help you do that right now. Guys, go ahead and put up the first picture. You live in a remarkable area. Some of you might remember that I've told you this before, and I promised myself I would bring my laser pointer, and I didn't do it. Okay, anybody recognize that mountain? Saddleback Mountain. Absolutely. We have a very unique, wonderful picture here for us. What are we talking about in the book of Isaiah regarding this Emmanuel? It is called the near-far fulfillment. Bible students, all of you here tonight, write it down. You'll be brilliant. You'll be 2 years ahead of your seminary students in Bible college right now to get this. I'm not kidding. There's some schools that don't even teach this. The near and far fulfillment. Bible prophecy has to have a near and far fulfillment. A typological fulfillment where it resembles it greatly, but then the ultimate fulfillment, which keeps God's word to a T, and it fulfills all prophecy. So watch this. You're looking at Saddleback Mountain, and by this picture, you're going to think that that is a mountain, and it's got a dip in it just like a saddle, okay? And by the way, let's show you another slide. This is from a different angle as you fly around it. You see the saddle? Keep going. If you right now get in an airplane, pretend my finger is an airplane. In fact, if you look really good, you can see demarcation? Do you see the topography? To the mountaintop on the right, do you see the antennas? Okay, that's a completely different mountain than the next high peak to the left. And if you look at the middle mountain, the peak on the left, in the center, the middle, do you, from left to right, follow the dark ridge line down. Do you see where it goes in front of the lighter colored mountain on the right? Can you see that, everybody? Did you know there's a canyon that goes up there? And if you go up that canyon and make a right-hand turn, you'll go right into Elsinore. You don't even go to the, listen, you don't have to go over that mountaintop. Those mountains are completely separated. You thought when you first saw them, they're connected. Just like the near and far fulfillment of Bible prophecy. There is a great distance between those two mountains. Saddleback Mountain is so unique the way that it's laid out. You can fly all the way 360 degrees around that mountain, and it always looks like a saddle. Why? From any angle you look at it, it's Saddleback Mountain. Any angle you look at this, it's the Word of God. Here's the deal. There is the near fulfillment, one of those mountains. There's a valley of time in between, and the other mountain is the ultimate fulfillment of the scripture, of the promise. It's all true. This genius of God, isn't it amazing? God's word spanning the epochs of time or millennia, maintaining its integrity, and yet being accurate to the moment. Right. Only God can do that. Yeah. This is why I'm a Christian. Seriously. This is why I'm a Christian. I can't walk away from this truth. Awesome. By the way, when you go to buy a Bible, I don't care who's the publisher. There's certain scriptures that you ought to know. And I'm very picky about my Bibles, personally. I'm not going to tell you the Bible that I buy as often as I can because it's out of print. There's a couple of dear people that I have scouring for them. If I tell you, then the price will even go up more. They're out of print, but I have about 8 of them of this particular Bible, the publisher. It's accurate. It's awesome. But the last one I got, I think, was $318 for that Bible because it's so hard to find. And it's not that it's, you know, it's not like super truth over the truth. No, it's just committed even in its footnotes to accuracy. I just love that. So you've had it pretty easy thus far. In the remaining time, in the next 15 minutes, you're going to get writer's cramp. But your heart's going to explode with joy. Who is this Emmanuel? Who is this Jesus that the angel spoke about? And what came from Mary? And as Protestants, let's be honest, as Protestants, we don't give Mary the honor that's due to her. But at the same time, being Protestants, we don't worship her because that would be wrong. Okay. Mary said that she's going to bring forth the Lord, her Savior. Mary needed to be saved just like you and I need to be saved as well. But make no mistake about it. God set her aside for a very special purpose, ladies and gentlemen. It was her humanity, her humanity that would house the eternal Son of God. And in this is great comfort for us because God could have come down like an alien on a spaceship and hovered over Jerusalem and snapped his fingers and fixed everything. And we would have had this weird cosmic alien kind of God thing. Eric Bogdanovich kind of weird thing, you know, chariots of the gods, weirdness. He could have done that, right? He could have came down like Ezekiel shows us in the middle of angels descending and said, I'm God and I'm going to save you. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You're saved. He could have. But not only did he come in the form of a human to die for our sins, he took upon us not only the sacrifice he took upon himself for us, but he's so kind and loving that in life, with all the pain that you and I go through and the struggles and the thoughts and the trauma of life, he tells us, and he writes in his Bible, I know how you feel. I was naked. I was hungry. I was an outcast. I was rejected. I was beaten. Imagine how much comfort right now our brothers and sisters in Syria, Tunisia, Lebanon, where? Iraq, hello. Iran, think about how much comfort they get right now, even in the face of being beheaded or burned to death, that they're hanging on to the promises of Jesus. You guys, I have good news for you. I know you're probably burned out on it, but I'm tracking this news all the time. according to CNN, you know, everybody's wringing their neck about ISIS and wringing their fingers, I should say, about ISIS and freaking out. You know what? As you watch the news unfold, ISIS is starting to lose in a big way. And I'm not talking about God bless the Peshmerga warriors in the north of Iraq. Those dudes are knocking ISIS out. Those guys are gone wild. The Kurdish fighters, you don't mess with those guys. And so they're doing great. I'm not talking about that. In Nigeria right now, Christians are being killed wholesale. And in the Sudan, do you know what's happening? Listen, everybody, I'm talking to you. Every Sunday, 3 to 5 churches are being destroyed per Sunday, and Christians are being killed many times inside the church building. Now, Guess what's happening? People are going to church on Sundays in those countries. Did you hear what I just said? They're going to church. They're walking to the possibility of their death, and they have decided, we're going to die with God. What would happen in America? What will happen in America when that starts? Will churches pack out? Will they? Will we have to hold 10 services on Sunday because people are dying in churches, so Christians say, that's it. I'm not living for this earth. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die in the house of God. And they're going to church. Would that happen in America? I hope so. I hope so. I'll be here. And then, you know what, Peggy? You and I will sing worship. Think about it. It may come to us. But I thank God. And ISIS doesn't know what to do with that. Boko Haram doesn't know what to do with that. Christians won't give up. They're worshiping God. Oh, we have to finish this chapter. Are you ready? Here we go. We're going to finish this chapter tonight. Who is this Emmanuel? Who is this Jesus? Revelation 1, verse 7 and 8. You can look at the screens, but right quick. Revelation 1, verses 7 and 8 says that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God. But Genesis 17, 1 says the Almighty God is God. John 8, 58 says that Jesus Christ is the I Am. But Exodus 3:14 says the I Am is God. Remember who the author of the Bible is, ladies and gentlemen. Acts 3:14 says that Jesus Christ is the Holy One. But Isaiah 43:15 says the Holy One is God. At John 8:24 says that Jesus Christ is the I Am He. But Isaiah 43:10 says that the I Am He is God. Next slide. Revelation 22:13. Apparently in all of your Bibles here tonight. Good for you. It says that Jesus Christ is the first and the last, but Isaiah 44:6 says that the first and the last is God. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, it says that Jesus Christ is the rock. In Psalm 18:31, it says that the rock is God. In John 5:21, it says that Jesus Christ raises the dead. But in 1 Samuel 2:6, it says that God's the only one who raises the dead. In John 8:12, it says that Jesus Christ is the light. In Isaiah 60:19-20, it says that God is the light. In Matthew 25:31-46, it says that Jesus Christ is the judge. But in Joel 3:12, it says that God is the judge. Colossians 1:16 says that Jesus Christ is the creator of angels. Psalm 148:5 says that the creator of angels is God. Hebrews 1:6 says that the angels worship Jesus Christ. But in Psalm 148:2, the Bible says that the angels worship God. In 1 Corinthians 11:2, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the one husband. But in Jeremiah 31:32, the Bible says that the one husband is God. Next slide. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the one Savior. In Isaiah 45:21, the Bible says the one Savior is God. By the way, it says it many, many times throughout the Bible, as this next one does. In Luke 1:68, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the one Redeemer. In Isaiah 41:14, the Bible says that the one Redeemer is God. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:10 says that every knee must bow to Jesus Christ. Isaiah 45:23 says that every knee must bow to God. In John chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the one creator. And in Genesis 1:1, it says that the one creator is God. In 1 John 4:15, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God's son. The Jews and Muslims today do not believe that God has a son. Proverbs 30, verse 4, written 3,000 years ago, says that God has a son, and that his son has a name. Proverbs 30, verse 4 says. Proverbs 30, verse 4 says, not only does God have a son, but he has a name. And he says, what is his name, if you can tell me? And on a count of three, give me his name. One, two, three.
Jesus.
He has a name and you know him. And so in the book of Isaiah chapter 7, verses 15 to verse 25. It says that curds, that's yogurt-like. I mean, really, the word curds here is like a yogurt-like cottage cheese type of stuff. And honey he shall eat, that he may know, watch this, how it turns, that he may know, that is a moral sense, to refuse the evil and choose the good. Verse 16, for before, this is interesting, before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you dread will be forsaken by both her kings. Israel and Judah will be forsaken and go into captivity. The southern kingdom will be captured by a man you have read about. Nebuchadnezzar will take them away to Babylon. Israel to the north will be captured by Tiglath-Pileser, the king of the Assyrian Empire, and take them away to Assyria into captivity. And here's the beauty. We'll just end here because it just plays out what's going to befall them. You guys remember Saddleback Mountain. The near fulfillment was there's going to be a young girl who has a baby and he's going to have a name. And that is a warning sign. That is a grievous sign that in time judgment is coming to you, Judah and Israel. That's the near fulfillment. That's the first mountaintop. There'll be a long valley of time that will take place, millennia. Technically, 710 years or 690 years will go by. And then the prophecy of Micah 5, verse 2 will be fulfilled. The ancient prophet, even Herod knew to run to that prophecy. He's in a panic. So Herod, the Edomite, the Hebrew Jewish religious leadership, and the Roman Empire that ruled the world at that time all wanted to know, what do the Hebrew scriptures teach in their prophecies about a special child being born in Israel? Go find it. You know the Christmas story. And they came back. The scripture, the prophecy is this. 523 years ago, the prophet Micah announced that the Messiah of the world, the Messiah of Israel, will come from heaven and be born in the county of Ephrathah in a city or a town called Bethlehem, which is named the house of bread, Bethlehem. And from that house of bread will come the bread of life. He's the one. And from that moment on, Herod tried to get him killed. Amazing. God's prophecy.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Word is Always True, Part 3. Thanks for listening today, and it is comforting to know that we can rely on God's Word and His promises as we move forward in our walk with His Son, Jesus Christ. God's Word is Always True, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before Jesus was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. We're excited to let you know that Pastor Jack has recommended a book of the month for May. It's called Haley's Bible Handbook. Haley's Bible Handbook makes the wisdom and the message of the Bible accessible to everyone. Whether you read the Bible many times or maybe you've never checked it out before, you'll find insights into the religious culture, along with maps and settings in which each story of the Bible unfolds. Haley's Bible Handbook is written for both mind and heart, and it's completely revised and updated. There are also easy-to-understand sections on how we got the Bible and the history of the church. So head on over to our website and purchase your copy of Haley's Bible Handbook for yourself, or maybe even for someone you know who needs a little extra help in studying the Bible. Again, you'll find Haley's Bible Handbook. That's at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.